Hey, this is Lesbian Nation.
Good evening. And I'm Martha Shelley. We're going to be talking tonight about what's going to happen during the fall. Starting tonight, Lesbian Nation is going to be on the air every week instead of every other week. And I'm sure you lesbians out there listening with eager ears will appreciate that. I've got a friend with me who's going to be helping her, helping out in the future.
Hello. I want to introduce myself because, for obvious reasons, my voice sounds a lot different from most people's around here. That gives a clue to my nationality. I also mustn't give too many clues to the FBI because, for obvious reasons, since we're not all too terribly liberated, I have to assume an identity. Anyway, when Martha told me that she would like me to help her, I was in some stoned condition, and the first anonymous name I could come up with, which is not very original, but I prefer to be known by Mary Flowerpot.
Okay. So Mary's going to be working with us from now indefinitely. And I was hoping that tonight in particular, she might have something to say about what's going on the other side of the Atlantic. Maybe we can start calling this thing Lesbians International instead of Lesbian Nation.
Or Lesbian Transatlantic.
Lesbians from Transylvania?
Okay, somewhere in the middle.
Anyway, what was going on in England last time you were there?
Well, last time I was there, I was on a bit of a bum trip, so I wasn't too much into things. In fact, my father was very ill. And so I only made sort of rather infrequent sorties to the usual haunts. The usual haunts, I'm sure everybody knows, from the killing of Sister George, the gates. I hope this isn't advertising or anything.
No.
And
if the movies can do it, we can do it.
Fair enough. Also, there's a strong tendency to set up a thing called GLF, which is still at this stage very mixed. And very underground, too, in terms of political attitudes.
What? I mean, from what I gathered, I don't know, there's supposed to be some sort of English tradition where you can say anything you want to in Hyde Park, and anybody can get up making a speech, including advocating the destruction of the human race.
Yes, but who wants a bag of rotten tomatoes thrown at them? I mean, one has to gauge it to the audience's reception. So one doesn't really sort of stand up and say, well, right on gay liberation with a hefty crowd of Sunday walkers out.
Get the idea. What about the GLF, though? Does that mean that when GLF is meaning they don't want the rest of the world to know, they don't go marching down the streets of London yelling, say it loud, gay is proud, stuff like that?
No, I mean, that's not English style. In fact, I suppose, really, most people here would find it pretty laughable what carries on in England as political activity, because under a socialist state, or general principles, I know the right-wing government is in now, but nevertheless, they keep a lot of the socialist principles going. The area of dissent is very dampened, simply because society is much more amenable to being lenient with people in terms of finances or sickness or jobs and things like this. So the areas they choose for dissent really look very sort of minor compared with the really radical issues that have to be dealt with here.
Well, for instance, what kind of areas?
Well, I guess the main sort of areas circulates around class and class distinctions. And this is where people, you know, have to be really in tune with the differences of culture from here to the English culture, because a great deal of the distinctions go on in very subtle ways. Language, particularly dialect. Also, the way you compose yourself and your behaviour and your dress and your general style. So all these are really rather subtle indications of where you're coming from. And in terms of political activity, of course, the so-called working class attitude is the one which people are trying to uprate. So that in terms of... I mean, BBC have come a long way in this. I mean, they will now accept some dialect differences from the north and from the east and the extreme west on their radio, which...
In other words, in the past, they would only put you on the air if you spoke standard.
Yes, standard English is the sort of English that I'm handing you out now. And... it's sort of relatively classless in a political sense. It was very much equated with a sort of somewhere in the middle, and it's neither extremely aristocratic, nor is it working class or lower class, nor does it show any a specific area differentiation, which is to say it's not a West England dialect or an East Anglian dialect or anything like this, you see.
Well, okay, so the GLF works there on issues pertaining to class. Do they have housing discrimination?
Yes. There's also been a certain amount of activity around racial discrimination. Again, this is such a different cup of tea from here, the race difference, mainly because the people who come to England are from India, West Africa, Pakistan, of course, too, and Singapore. And they're people who are often rich or well-off or have their own sort of homes, in other words, whereas, of course, many black people here, you know, are trying hard to identify with African culture, but it seems several stages removed. So that the African, say, from West Africa, an Ashanti or some such, may well be a sort of a fairly top dog at home. So he doesn't have that same sort of oppressed or chip-on-shoulder feeling that someone here would have.
What happens then if the GLF sounds like it's fighting class and race battles. What about any specific gay battles? Do they get beaten up by cops?
Yes. Or? Well, the gay scene, again, is completely different because the whole legal issue has been completely resolved. It was reputed that it was resolved because the people in the Foreign Office were mostly homosexual and, of course, were open to attack from foreign powers. And so they just had to revoke the laws in order to at least keep the country on its feet in espionage. Anyway, be that as it may, there are no sort of laws that can be applied. But, of course, blackmail is still a subtle issue that can be used against homosexual people in top jobs and professions even so.
Is there any alliance between the gay movement there and the women's movement or any feeling on the part of the lesbians about which side they most identify with?
No. In fact, I think this is the biggest area, really, of difference between here and the States. Women, you see, in England have, in their own ways, which, again, is rather different from here, in their own ways have made a good deal of advancement politically. I mean, you will find a large percentage of women in Parliament, in top jobs, in professions, as well as one of the main supporting personnel are women in London Transport and various areas like this, nursing and hospitals. All kinds of areas like these where women are simply allowed in and given very responsible jobs, and there's no real big deal in terms of women's issues. There is the post office long time ago gave equal pay to women for equal work, and various other bureaucratic institutions took this up a long time ago.
What about finance, the military issue,
yes,
institutions that have a lot of clout? Or for that matter, the educational establishment, Oxford,
well,
and so on.
Women in the forces are to be found very frequently. It's just, it's one good place where dykes go, of course, because the whole uniform thing and the authoritarian thing is very appealing to some. And I say some types of lesbians. I should again explain that the lesbian scene in Europe, especially in Protestant countries, I found to be very different from here. There's a strong sort of butch femme tendency with a good deal of drag on both sides. I mean, many TVs, and one great area of entertainment can be had in London are drag pubs. The whole public house thing, the whole pub scene, is where people, derive a good deal of their fun and entertainment and get-togethers and parties and whatnot. And there are countless numbers of drag pubs you can go to, both women and men. So that this whole thing is quite on the surface. And I suppose, in a sense, some people could say, well, I really ought to object to that because they are just sort of figures of fun and entertainment. But I don't think it works like that, you know, having been, you know, it might sound that way when I talk about it off the cuff, but when you're in such a scene and you really enjoy yourself with all this carry-on, you can see that people will play to it. You know, straight people too will play out their own homosexual feelings and if only verbally.
What now, the bars, the pubs, as you call them, they're not the same as they are here, obviously. Are they individually owned, or is there a syndicate like the kind we've got here?
They're usually owned by the brewers, that is, those who are making the beer. I mean, beer's a great thing in England, and brewers tend to hold most of the pubs in particular areas. So there are different kinds of beer areas, and it's a bit like cheese in France, you know.
Roquefort and so on, you get it in that particular province.
That's right. And what happens is that the brewers then lease out a pub to a guy who wants to run it. And so if he finds, you know, if he's in a groovy area where there are a lot of gay people, then a gay guy will own the pub or a woman will own the pub and run it in terms of their own ethos. So people can really get off according to... So you get to know all the pubs. I mean, there's some different kinds of pubs, like theatre pubs too, where you can see a play and have a meal and watch a play, or else the poet pubs where you can play an instrument and read poetry, all kinds of different things you see go on.
Or play a game of darts.
Oh, right, darts, dominoes, barbillies, any kind of thing like this. But I was only talking about the drag pubs specifically because they're such a good scene for gay people. Apart from bars. There are bars too. Bars tend to be more privately owned clubs where you buy a membership for a year and then you gain entrance through your membership.
Well, do you have to know somebody to get in?
Yes, it usually works that way.
And are these are individually owned or is it again...
No, they're individually owned. So that if you want to set up, you can do it in your own house. You can just get a license and obey the licensing laws and set up a bar in your own house.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, there's some really groovy places. Of course, the scene changes continually. So that's why I say when I was there last, I didn't really get into it. So I was just very much on the fringes. But I did notice this GLF activity with a few marches protesting, one or two, which seemed to me such minor issues that I can't even remember what they were.
Well, okay, so Mary Flowerpot's going to be helping us on the show. And for those people who were around at the GAA Firehouse, when I took people's names and said I'd be getting in touch with them for poetry and music and so on, take heart, I haven't forgotten you. And I will be sort of calling people one by one, recording music in Studio C or Studio B here as the year progresses. I've already got some shows lined up, but I'd also like to hear, this is your chance tonight, from the people who are listening in terms of what they want, what they think of what we've been having on the air, any questions to Dear Aunt Martha and so on. Charlie, what do I do about phone calls? You want to say something? Charlie's our engineering tonight. Okay, Charlie be in here pretty soon with some headphones, and then you can all start calling in. He'll also give me the phone number so I can tell it to you. It's not the same as the usual daytime number. And meanwhile, maybe we can talk about what's in The Voice this week. Before we do that, there is an article in The Voice this week. There's the usual Jill Johnston article, which I urge you to read. And also a really nasty thing against Jill. And I don't know whether all of you have read it or not, but we're going to read a bit of it on the air. Before we do that, I should warn you that a lot of the language in that article is obscene, considered to be obscene. And if you've got any little children listening, or if you don't want to hear such language on the air, I suggest you turn off the set or chase the kids away. When you call up, you're not allowed to use obscene language on the air, so we're going to bleep you if you do. But we're allowed to read stuff that's in the Village Voice that's obscene, providing we do what we've already told you. Okay. What's the... You circled something here.
Yes, well, I guess I really don't even want to take issue with this article because, in the main, it seemed to start off fairly sort of intelligently, but I think the lady who is called Julie Bavasso here, I don't know if that's a pseudonym or whether that's her real name.
She might be a drag queen.
Yes. I don't know. I really don't know the person involved. But anyway, I'm taking it just as a reader who has come to this article fresh and looks at it as if to find something intelligent there. And I appear to do so in the first two paragraphs, which is talking about an essay written by one Didion. Again, I haven't read that essay. And some comments that Miss Johnson made in a reply to Didion's essay. So that all seems to be fairly square. Then this lady seems to take a trip. And does she take a trip? I don't know whether she was on anything when she wrote this article, but the net result is such a spiel of invective and obscenity that I wonder the Voice allowed it to be published. However, that's the onus is on them now, and I think a lot of people are going to be extremely upset about this article. The attack is directed at Johnston in particular, but is really subtly underlined by Julie's psychotic trip into femininity. And she finally ends up the article with a reference to artistic achievement, which can be accomplished apparently by knowing how to fuck yourself with your own symbolic prick and keep it where it belongs, which is in the work. Then you can also enjoy the incomparable pleasure of a real live dough Johnny up your cookie jar without being threatened.
Is that's a quotation?
This is a direct quotation, yes. Really implying that most women who are lesbian haven't any idea where their symbolic pricks are at. You see what I mean? This is getting...
Well, the way I read it, she was sort of telling Jill that Jill is a bag of turds and she should go bleep herself.
Yes, but while on the surface, when one reads this, as I said, it appears to be directed at Jill Johnston, underneath it all is this psychotic vein of the author who has really not come to terms with her own sexuality. And this is what it's all about, I feel. And she has declared herself to be so sick in this respect that, as I say, I don't even think it's worth criticizing.
Well, my major criticism is against The Voice.
Exactly. And I think that's where it should stay.
What am I supposed to do?
What?
Station break. Okay, hang on, you guys, girls, ladies. I'm going to get my throat cut.
This is WBAI in New York.
Okay, I was supposed to do that, but Charlie
made it sound almost unbelievably idyllic.
I did? Yeah. Well, I suppose that was in contrast to what goes on here.
Yeah.
It is not idyllic, but it's so subtle that I'm obviously going to have to take a few weeks to try and get it across to people. Meanwhile, I don't think I've got time to go into it in any more detail.
Yeah, let's get on to the next caller.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else on there? Okay, the number is 371-5200. Actually, I would like to take any women callers who happen to come along. I'd sure like to know what the lesbians have been thinking of this show. Nobody home.
I think they've all gone away for the weekend.
Right, they're all going away for the weekend, leaving me stranded here on WBAI when I could be out backpacking somewhere. Hello?
Hello?
Who's there?
Is this 371-5200?
This is WBAI. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Martha. This is Frog.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm pretty upset right now. I just turned on the radio in the middle of the program, and I don't know if you said anything about Liza Cowan being fired.
Well, no, I haven't, because she has asked me not to. I mean, she said sort of to wait and see what she wants to do about the whole thing.
Oh, gosh. Can I say something?
Sure.
I feel that this whole thing has gotten sort of beyond Liza, because I feel that she was fired because she was a feminist and a lesbian. And I guess it's all right if program starts off being a lesbian program, but if it starts off being a feminist program and then she comes out as a lesbian, it's no good. And I heard all the reasons that Ed Goodman gave for firing her. It doesn't make any sense to me. And we're having a demonstration in front of BAI on Thursday at 12 o'clock to protest it. Because a lot of us are really angry about it. We feel that it's a political act against women and against lesbians and against feminists.
Well, I know Liza had quite an audience.
Yeah, she did. They said she didn't have an audience, but she did. They said the program was no good. And this was Ed Goodman saying that he didn't like a woman's program. Well, he's a man. Of course he's not going to like it. You know, I mean, he has some nerve saying that he doesn't like this program when the program is for women, not for men.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, as far as my feelings about the station goes, I'm not prepared to make too many statements at this point, except that I don't, you know, I have a lot of quarrels with the way things are run.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Liza's thing, I'm going to wait a bit further and talk to her before I do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad you brought it up. You're having the demonstration in front of the station, huh?
Yeah, next Thursday at 12 o'clock.
Okay, maybe I'll bring my tape recorder.
Great.
How's the gang?
The gang is, I don't know, I'm going to, there's a dance tonight for the lesbian switchboard at 9 o'clock at the GAA firehouse on Worcester Street. What is that, 99 Worcester Street, I think?
Or 33 anyway. Everybody knows where the firehouse is.
Yeah.
Just go to Worcester and House and then start walking south on Worcester, and you'll see a firehouse with a lot of lesbians in front of it.
That should be a good time, because the dances that they had there before were really fun.
Mm-hmm. I understand there's a picnic by the Lesbian Liberation Committee of GAA on Sunday, too.
It's not a picnic. There's going to be a beach thing at Reese Park.
What time?
Let me see. Where's the ad?
That's at the gay section, isn't it?
Meet at the GAA firehouse. Oh, it's 99 Worcester at 9 a.m., and
that's
cars are needed.
9 a.m. on Sunday?
Yeah. I guess they want to start off early, but I guess anytime you get to the beach, it's section 2 on the beach. You can just go on your own and join everybody.
Look for the purple bathing suits.
Right.
Okay, thanks, Frog. Let's see if anybody else wants to get on.
Right.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Nobody else on?
Hello?
There's somebody.
Hello?
Hello? Is this Martha Shelley?
He's speaking.
Hi. I want to say I like your show very much, and I'm really glad it's on, because I am, like, as in the closet as you can get. And, like, this is my only contact, practically. And so it's really good. And I didn't know about Liza Cowan being fired. Is she off as of this Monday?
I guess so, yeah, because the new month has started.
Yeah. Wow, that's really bad. And I feel kind of bad about that, so it's good at least you have this show. I wish you'd get a show then.
Oh, please, don't wish me any more work. Would you like to do a radio show?
Yeah, I'd love to do a radio show.
But if you're in the closet, you have a job to lose.
Well, no, I don't have a job to lose. I'm in the closet. I don't even know exactly. I mean, I don't know if you want to go into this on the air. It might be very dull. So I really don't want to go into my own little problems.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you listened to my show. It's really cool.
Yeah. If you have any suggestions for me, I'd love to hear them, though, if you have something really
cool. Oh, we can think of some suggestions, I'm sure.
Mary.
Yes, I don't know what the listener had in mind. She's gone.
I'm open to any suggestion. I had...
Well, what kind of a closet are you in?
Well,
I mean, you don't know
I
if you're gay or
what. Relationship.
You had a what relationship?
A relationship with one woman.
Mm-hmm.
And when that broke up, I just, you know, that was just someone I met in school. And I just had the relationship with her, and it was really good, and we're still good friends. But she's with a guy now, and, you know, that's what she wants to do. And I went back to that, too. And then I decided that I really didn't want to go back to that, and I don't know what to do from here. You know, that's it. I'm still dating guys now, but I really would rather be with women.
Mm. Well, the best thing I can suggest is come to the dance, see if you can meet someone.
Right on.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much, and keep up the show, you know. Don't get fired, please.
They can't. I don't get paid.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to have to get off the air now because we've run out of time. So I hope all of you lesbians out there in Lesbian Nation, International, whatever, come to the dance tonight and go to the beach party if you're free on Sunday and rising at some time.
And Mary Flowerpot would also like to say goodbye, and I'll be talking to you again lots more.
Okay. Take it away, Charlie.
The last portion of Lesbian Nation was on tape delay for the phone calls. This is WBAI, listener-sponsored radio in New York at 99.5 FM. We're now 11 minutes behind schedule.